Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. It's another Wall Harris Panther Rants podcast. And Monday morning, it's drive time. It's starting another week. And you know what? It's weird. I mean, this past weekend, it was our first week with our college football. And to be honest with you, I really didn't notice it. I really didn't notice that we were without college football this weekend. Don't know how or why. It's kind of weird. I actually got, like, more stuff done this weekend than, you know, previous ones. Tick, tick, tick. Yeah, you hear my turn signal. I'm on my way into work. But, obviously, Pitt and West Virginia squared off on Saturday on the backyard brawl as it returned. Pitt lost by 9. And, of course, it could have been, you know, it could have been a lot worse. I mean, it was bad in the first half. To a point where I wasn't sure if they were going to break, you know, 20 points. Initially, I wasn't even going to watch the game at all. I was just going to watch Rudolph and Frosty, my kids. I mean, I still did, but I threw on the game on the ESPN app and watched it from there. But, I mean, to look at it, obviously, Pitt and West Virginia pretty much dominate Pitt every category except for rebounds. Pitt actually out-rebounded the Mountaineers. And they hit some big shots down the stretch, and got to within, you know, 2 points, which was pretty big. But in the end, West Virginia's, you know, experience, talent, all of the above, won out, and was the ultimate deciding factor in this. Pitt did shoot more free throws, a lot more. But still, though, West Virginia was still up big despite all that. Not to mention having guys in foul trouble, though. As far as the game goes, when I watched it, I mean, the first half, I mean, it was bad. I mean, it wasn't so much the game itself. It's just how the game flowed. It was, you know, lots of fouls. Lots of commercials. It felt like it was more commercials than actual basketball. Second half, though, eventually picked up. But Pitt, you know, give them what they have. I mean, these guys they got a lot of youth. They're gonna play hard. They're gonna be scrappy. But that's all you're really gonna see. So if you're expecting, you know, for them to be ranked or anything like that, yeah, that's not going to happen this year. And of course, you know, one person brought up, you know, the Texans are still some bitterness from a small bunch of Pitt fans. But if you think about it, if you look at how many fans Pitt plays in front of now, you can say it's a lot of them. But to be fair to those fans, the former coach has his program ranked and undefeated, whereas we need overtime to defeat Mount St. Mary's. So there you go. So there, I mean, that's your bitterness right there. That's the reason for your bitterness. And, you know, if you look at the post-game press conference, I mean, Kevin Stallings seemed pretty pleased with his team. you know, a lot of people, I guess, Pitt fans were upset over Kevin Stallings and how he was with his players last year. But then at the other side of it, there's Bob Huggins, who pretty much, you know, he trashes players usually. And one time I remember when Jamie was here, people thought, you know, maybe if Jamie, you know, was like this with his players, you know, with yelling at them and talking about them in press conferences, then maybe he would get better results in the tournament. Yeah, there was those people that thought that. And, you know, if you think about it, they got that guy now. They got Kevin Stallings. They have him. But there's a lot to be happy about with this Pitt team. I mean, these players seem bought in, and I'm sure they're not worried about all the negative vibes outside, you know, outside of everything. And if they stay together, they have some players coming in next year. You know, they'll be better next. They'll be even a lot better next year. I mean, would it be tournament team? Probably not. I'd say another. After this year, probably another 2-3 years. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, one thing is, you know, they got McNeese State coming next week, and they need to take care of business. They got to blow out McNeese State, because the big boy pants should be off by now. After what they were able to do against West Virginia, they should be able to come and take care of McNeese State with no problem. They should need overtime to defeat McNeese State. And if they do, they're gonna, you know, they're staying above 500. I mean, hey, we accomplished something, right? We're at 500 at one point. And speaking of that former coach, well, let's get into this. TCU AD Chris DelConi left for Texas over the weekend. Kind of shocked me because DelConi's been there for so long. But this is a really good hire for Texas. Really good opportunity for DelConi as well. DelConi's been has had a lot of energy. I mean, this guy works tirelessly. I mean, he did with Rice, and right, you know, to a point with Rice, you know, they did win the College World Series. He moves on to TCU and worked tirelessly there. And they moved around a bunch of conferences. They were a non-BCS team, and they won a BCS bowl game. It was against Wisconsin, of all people. And he got them into a BCS conference, which was the Big East, with some help from Jamie Dixon. You know, Jamie was a big help in that. He sold DelConi into getting TCU to go to join the Big East, which basically means you're gonna take some plane rides. What's the big deal? So the move is going to solidify the Big East in football, obviously, and it was a good matchup. And of course, Pitt, you know, schools like Pitt, West Virginia, wanted to bring in another school to help, you know, as like a kind of like a travel partner for these guys. You know, Central Florida was one option, so was Houston. Those were your two big options right there. And of course, the basketball schools and some football schools who suck up. The basketball schools shot back with Villanova. Yeah. And that's pretty much was the end of the Big East. But all hope wasn't lost. He got them in the Big 12. And, you know, kudos to him. I mean, that program has been taking off ever since being in the Big 12. I mean, I was at TCU a few years back, maybe like 5 years back probably, for a graduation. I remember being in the basketball arena, and it was like a glorified high school gym, pretty much. There was nothing to write home about. And the football stadium was in process of being upgraded. All the upgrades were being put in at that point. And that's a beautiful field, too. Very beautiful field. But what does this mean for Jamie Dixon? Well, people are wondering if he would follow Del Conte. Well, for one thing, supposedly some media people brought up the idea of Jeff Long taking over at TCU. And it probably is not going to happen, given the fact that at the end of Long's tenure at Pitt, him and Jamie weren't even on speaking terms with each other. Nope. They weren't even talking to each other. So I don't see that happen. But on the flip side, for Jamie, if it does happen, he's got his way out if he happens to want to leave. And all he's got to say is, well, you know, I built TCU, got this program where they need to be, so I'm moving on. You know, this next opportunity is really good, and I wasn't going to leave until, you know, things were all right here at TCU. So he got his out, but I really don't ever see him, following Del Conte to Texas, mainly because Jamie's a TCU alum. I mean, that would be unheard of. Maybe not. But I just really wouldn't see him, a TCU alum, a guy who returned, quote-unquote, home after being a Pitt for so many years, going to Austin after a few years. Things go... Only if someone like Jeff Long is brought in as AD and things go south. But like I said, he has his out. But if Jamie were to go anywhere, if he would decide to leave TCU, I doubt it would be Texas. If anything, it would be somewhere on the West Coast where his family is. You know, say if the UCLA job opens up, maybe in USC. If those jobs open up, then yeah, probably. But other than that, I think he's at TCU for a while. He's got some good going. They're ranked. They're being up on teams. He's got some good recruits coming in. So, yeah, I really don't see him ever leaving for a long time. Unless Shaka Smart. And plus, Shaka Smart is at Texas. Shaka, obviously. He's in year three. He got them, I guess, he had a winning record his first year, but last year they were losing, they lost pretty bad. You know, basically at the modern ad situation. I mean, Shaka's been in the Final Four, which Jamie has not been able to do. Shaka's obviously had better tournament swagger than Jamie has. But it's one thing that Jamie's always missed and has not gotten is the tournament swagger. For some reason, he just, you know, it doesn't matter what if it's in a down year or what, his team just don't pick up in March. Whereas Tom Izzo, he can lose a whole bunch of players, and he can have a mediocre regular season. He gets in the tournament, he gets his guys into the Elite Eight or Sweet 16. Pitt, we can't get out of the first round, let alone the first weekend. So, yep. And, you know, Kevin Stallings' tournament resume isn't really better than Pitt's. So there's that as well. But whatever. Anyways, our next topic. The Heisman was decided over the weekend. Baker Mayfield wins it, obviously. The guy had a great year. And it was obviously, you know, going to be picked. Because the other candidates really didn't stand out. Although, the running back for Stanford, I would have liked him. Because he pretty much played most of the year hurt. He had a bad ankle, and he was running on it all year. And he put up those numbers. And I'm sure people, especially in the local media, are probably have their panties in a bunch because Saquon Barkley didn't get invited. And, you know, for Saquon Barkley's part, you know, he's probably, you know, to me personally, I thought he was the best player in college football. But I felt his coaching staff let him down. Because teams started to pick up on Penn State's offense. At least the teams who had, you know, really good defensive lines. And, you know, no adjustments were really being made to get him the ball in different areas. But, I mean, if you put Saquon Barkley in, like, to a Pitts offense, his numbers are probably a lot better. I think if they'd have put, you know, Barkley more into a pro-style formation, mixed up a little bit, his numbers would have been a lot better. Because a lot of games he put up mediocre numbers. And there were some games, like, early in the year that the numbers weren't great because they were blowouts. But the problem is that his coach, not his coach, but his offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead, for some reason had a hard-on for Trace McSorley. It was hell-bent on getting McSorley the ball all the time. In a lot of situations, you had your potential Heisman back. You had to get him the ball. And that's pretty much what, you know, kept hitting the game. For most of it was the fact that the Moorhead was hell-bent on freaking Lane Trace McSorley winning the game. It was until he realized he had to get the ball to Barkley that they eventually pulled away. I mean, it bit him in the foot against USC, where, you know, they decided to throw the ball late. And, you know, two plays particular to one, where McSorley throws up his back foot and almost gets picked off. And then you figure he's going to run the ball. You figure Moorhead in the next play is going to run the ball and just be done with it, go overtime. Nope. Has him thrown again. And USC catches all and picks him off. They end up winning the game. But yeah, Moorhead is pretty much, he did a lot good with Penn State's offense. But there's a lot that happened that cost him that, some wins, especially these two wins in particular this year. But in 2008, LeSean McCoy was the best back in college football and it got no hardware. Now he's 30-something yards away from 10,000 yards, which for some reason I'm the only person who brings this up on Twitter, that he's closing on 10,000 yards. Nobody else really seems to care. But, of course, when it's posted, everybody will be retweeting and everything else. Retweeting, quoting, and blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, McCoy's had a hell of a career. And Hall of Fame careers, we'll see. I mean, it depends how long he plays for more. I mean, this is when running backs start to, you know, their bodies start to break down. But I thought his career would die in Buffalo. But he's done pretty well since then. He's closing on 1,000 yards again. I mean, he's had some injuries, but, I mean, he's still shady. He still runs. He does what they need him to do. The guy still has his moves. He's still quick. I mean, the guy's still got that burst. I mean, that's just amazing how he gets the line, breaks away, and just boom. I mean, he's still got that. That's what's awesome. I mean, he could play a few more years, and who knows how far he moves up that rushing chart. You know, obviously, like, Larry Fitzgerald just passed Randy Moss this past weekend, and Larry's numbers would be a lot better if he had a really good quarterback throwing him the ball. But he loves Arizona, and he's been very loyal to them, and I applaud him for it. I mean, if you want to be loyal, be loyal. But for, you know, I mean, he hasn't really complained about no Super Bowl. Whereas Andre Johnson, and Houston did. He complained about, you know, how things were going, and it's like, dude, you stayed in Houston. Oh shit. Well, a rock just hit my windshield and put a big ass dent. Well, not a big ass dent, a nice little mark in it. Oh, that sucks. Well, that's why we have insurance. But I'll be taking a picture of this and posting on something on Instagram or on Twitter. I don't have an Instagram. What the hell? But I guess what I'm trying to say is bigger things are for Saquon Barkley. If the if obviously the Penn State bug doesn't hit him, you know, where those running backs who at Penn State who do well in college and then get drafted, and of course things go south. Yeah, here I am texting my quote-unquote significant other. I'm not realizing I'm podcasting still. Sorry about that, guys. So, on a final note, my podcast... is now on iHeartRadio. So go and download iHeartRadio, and you can catch shows like Clay Travis, Jason Whitlock shows, Shannon Sharp, and my show. What a shameless plug. But basically, with iHeartRadio, what it really happened was this app gives you an option to apply to iHeartRadio. And which is what I did. And I think I applied for like a year ago maybe, or 2 years ago. And I didn't get approved. Because what they do is they look at how often you're uploading podcasts, their length, all that. Because they're not going to, you know, I was doing like 15-minute podcasts, sometimes 10 minutes. And, They're not gonna throw stuff like that on for the hell of it. So I applied and I got approved. And what's weird was I think I applied by accident. Cause I remember hitting the button, and I just like was checking the email, and I'm like, ooh, okay. What does this mean for my podcast? Probably just, you know, instead of 40 people listening, maybe 50. I mean, it doesn't mean, I'm not going to be breaking no internet money or any crap like that. I mean, it's just, I mean, if I can get on the iHeart, pretty much anyone can. I mean, shoot, you know, Chris P could probably get on, you know, the Chris and Dan show could probably get on. And of course, there's Unscripted with Corey, sometimes Jim or whoever he has on. They could probably get on too if they wanted. But yeah, anyone. I mean, if I can get on iHeart, pretty much anyone can. But anyways, I'll end it here. Have a good day at work and a safe commute, and avoid rocks hitting your windshield. Hail to Pitt.